Jesus for being here. And the second thing is we want to give thanks to some guys, special guys who are visiting us today. When we started this work in London, this church, we started meeting in Soho once a week and praying so we would get a breakthrough in this city. And the Lord gave us strategy and prophetic encouragement. And, you know, it was really amazing days. It was costly because we were all coming up from Horsham at that stage. And then Dot and I moved here, and then some of you guys started to join us. But there are two guys here who've really blessed us. I'm blessed to see them with us this morning. And it's Pastor Jonathan Dyke and Pete Waterman. And Pete's wife, Lucy, and Jonathan's wife, Janet. So, welcome all of you. We don't welcome them last because they're part of their husbands, but what we really want to give thanks to these guys because they came and they pioneered, they dug this ground for us. They came and made the effort. They came through. It was costly for them to come through from Horsham once a week and come and be part of what we're doing. And there was months that these guys sowed into us. And so any benefit you are experiencing, any joy that you have, is all the Holy Spirit's fault. But we've got to give thanks because God sends good men, and they give good men to us to come and help us. And they were helpers to us. And so they are your founders in a sense. They're the guys that came and pioneered here. And so it's especially good to welcome them and have them share God's word with us this morning. So let's welcome Pastor Jonathan. He's coming to preach, and let's see what the Lord wants to do.
Good morning. I was just checking the watch clock. How are you? Man, you guys look fantastic. They told me that you were really kind of feisty, but they never told me that you looked so handsome. It's great for us, Pete and Lucy and Janet and myself, to be here with you this morning. It's kind of one of those kind of divine setups. We came just to spend the night with Ruth and sleep in her flat, which we thoroughly enjoyed. But there is, as Pastor Les was saying, there's been an investment. Sam, you look brilliant. I've missed Sam and Fred. Not that much. Let's move on. So it's been great for us just to have this opportunity. Really appreciate Pastor Les for giving us just some moments. Hello. I didn't recognize who you were. Hi, how are you? Man, you've grown up. And hopefully I have as well. So I was distracted. It's great to kind of been keeping track of what has been happening up here in the life of the church up in London, and we've been praying for you every day. I don't know whether Pastor Heller mentioned that a year ago in January we set up a 24-hour prayer strategy, which is kind of exciting. How many of you know that most Christians want to pray at the end of the list? Maybe it's nobody here, okay. In my experience, most Christians put prayer at the bottom of the list. And we've just been so encouraged by the 200 odd people. We have got odd people in Horsham, not just in London, who have been giving themselves to pray. And we've taken kind of you as part of our family based up here in London. And we've been praying for you and Pastor Les and Dot particularly, and the leadership and the other guys that are around. And we're believing God is going to do something awesome. Well, everybody over here does. Over here, we think God is going to do something really awesome. You can just watch if you want, but it's much more fun to get involved. But over the last couple of months, we down in Horsham, Avcay, we've been praying specifically for you, or we've been kind of believing God to do certain things. And how many of you know that July is a key month in the calendar of God? Okay, you won't. I'll tell you then. In the seventh month, which is July, the ark landed. It's a time of salvation. It's a time to run into the house and get your life sorted out and avoid the flood. I think that's brilliant, don't you? Look out the window, it's flood time. Can't you tell? Yes, hello. In the month of July, it's tabernacle month. It's time to celebrate, coming out of the old into the new. This is July. I don't know what the date is. 4th. Okay, July the 4th. It's a tabernacle kind of month. How many of you know that in July, Ezra began to revive the word in the people's hearing? Keep up. So July is a time when the word, I believe, we believe, is going to be revived in our hearts. Not just in our hearing. Do you know that the quickest journey in the whole world, it's not recorded in the Guinness Book of Records, but it should be. So you ready for this? You need to write this down. The quickest journey in the entire world I have found is in one Christian's ear and out the other one. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody hear that one? And what we've just been believing is that the Spirit of God is going to help us grab the word on the journey between there and there. Is that all right? So when it goes in there, before it comes out here, it comes through here and there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that we actually become, if you like, part of the fabric of the Word of God in this season and from this season. Thanks for that. Come on, I like you over his side. In the seventh month is a time of festivity. In the seventh month is when the year of Jubilee starts. Come on. This year is my 50th year. I know I don't look old enough. It's not the age, it's the mileage. Yes. Yes. Pastor Les knows all about it. Thanks. In April, I'm going to be 50 this year. Pete already is. He's been 50 for years. He hasn't really. But we're believing that... Yes. See, I'm losing something. That's why I bring my wife with me. I can't remember. I hope this has been recorded because I need to listen to that again. My birthday's in October, so you've got time to save up. But it's Jubilee year. What does that mean? It means things get restored, things get redeemed, things get put back to how they should be. Debts get demolished. Inheritance gets received. But it all starts this month. And as kind of a leadership, working, you know, as part of just living and praying and believing God for you and with you and Pastor Les, we believe this month these things are going to happen to all of us. Anybody that's connected with Kingdom Faith, then we are. Anybody that's part of that spirit, that breakthrough kind of, yeah, we want to see more than we've got. We believe it's true for all of us. Thanks for that encouragement. Remember, don't let the journey happen, all right? Grab it on the way through. So, yeah, I'm going to have some of that. So we're believing that from this month, and we've had a specific kind of time frame that in 28 days, that started July the 2nd, we're going to see an increasing rainfall from Zechariah 10, ask for the rain in the time of the rain. How many of you know that 28 days on the 2nd means the first day of Faith Camp? How many of you come to Faith Camp? Come on, you all need to come. If you're not going to come, we'll get pulled around in a big truck. It'll chuck you in the back and take you up the M1 or wherever it is and we'll all go. But we are totally convinced that in God's grace and in this timing, 2010, July 2010, there is going to be a moving of the Spirit of God within our house. And you're part of the house. We're all part of this house. Is this making some sense? So we've really been very encouraged by this. We've been kind of working that through. What does that mean? What does it mean? So I know Pastor Helen was up here a few weeks ago and... Did she come 3 Sundays ago? Since then, we've seen 12 people come to Christ. It's not enough, but that's just on Sunday mornings. If you add the midweeks, we've seen 22 people come to Christ. And you should be encouraged, because we're all one family, that means you've got 22 new members of your church. It's just they don't always come here on a Sunday. Because that's kind of how it works. There's only one body, isn't there? And we're all part of it, and we're all believing God for something brilliant. And I think that's awesome. Just a couple of days ago, whenever Wednesday was, we gathered at the Bible College in the grounds with about 85 blokes. And all the blokes went, "Whoa." Okay. There's a gift of discernment here. If you're a bloke, just go, "Whoa." That's it. That was kind of okay. And we gathered together about 80 blokes, but sounded a little bit more kind of masculine than that, if that's all right. And we gathered together because we've been kind of really believed that we want to invest in the men. How many of you know that when Joshua crossed over to the promised land, the people at the front, not the priests, because they stood in the middle and got wet for a couple of days. Actually, they didn't. It was dry. But the fighting men went in first, and they just prepared the territory. And I believe God works the principle, and for us the principle is the blokes have been entering into the territory of their own life. And we've been investing in some blokes since January. It's called Living as a Man on the Frontline. And we've been kind of sowing into them and mentoring them and coaching them. And out of these 130 blokes, I think Sam was one of those, and Fred, who's just disappeared, were involved with that. So you've got some frontline blokes to add to your own front nine blokes. But we've had story week after week after week of healed marriages, healed parenting skills, promotions in the workplace. Kind of interesting, isn't it? We've had some stories of people just hearing God for the very first time. One of them was a leader in our church. It's a shocker, isn't it? One of them had a position of leadership within our small group ministry. And within about a month, they said, "Man, I'm hearing God, and I've not heard God like that for 7 years." How many of you know 7 years is too long? Sometimes 7 minutes is too long. But there's kind of been not a revival, but there's been a re-energizing of the men. And all of our women are very happy. Why am I saying all of this? Well, because we believe God is kind of gathering all these things together for this month. For such a time as this, you're sitting here. For such a season as this, you're alive today. For such a place as this, this is why you are here. This is why you're breathing in oxygen and pumping out CO2. It's not for global warming. Personally, I don't believe in it. I think it's a myth. I believe in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, if you see a penguin walk up Regent Street, tell me, all right? Unless it's escaped from the zoo. But I don't believe in it. But I do believe in the power of God to change people's lives, to restore people's lives, to heal people's lives, and to give them a hope and a future. I believe it is possible for God to transform nobody and make somebody out of them. Now, I believe in that. I believe it's possible for God to take nothing at all and make something extraordinary out of it. I believe in that. I believe it's possible for God to take something that's broken and no longer of any use to society and transform it so it shines like a diamond. I believe in that. I believe God can save a city because of the righteous that live in it. I believe in that. And so does Ruth. Come on, I love it. So, it's great to be up here. I have got a word for kind of you guys. If you're a lady as well, you are a guy. Sorry, it's just a word I use. And if you'd like to hear it, we're going to have a look at Luke chapter 24 in a moment. And I want to kind of help us, because I don't know about you, but kind of, you know, we're all kind of busy, but we're all busy usually touching other people's lives. Thank God that Jesus didn't call us to live in an island somewhere, although some of us might have wished he had. He hasn't. He's called us to live within society. And I just want to show you through Scripture the power of your story. How, in the Hebrew root words, testimony that you hear about in things like Philemon, and you see in the Old Testament when they used to write little things on their head and remind themselves, but the power of the story is reproduction. My word is living and active, it says in Hebrews, and sharpen any double-edged sword. You know that scripture? The power of your story. If you're a Christian here this morning, you've got a story to tell. If you're not a Christian this morning, there's a story waiting for you. If you're a Christian this morning, the power of your story will reproduce itself in the hearing of somebody else. If you're not a Christian this morning, you're about to get saved. Because this story is life-changing. It will turn your world upside down. The power of your story will transform your world, your planet, your household, your bank balance, your marketplace. The power of your story will transform everyone that is against you, everyone that opposes you. Your story. Because our story as Christians is his story. And his story helps us get ready for the future. His story. So we're going to just look at a few principles here, if that's okay. We're not going to take ages because I haven't been told when to finish, but we've got to get home. What? We could stay. We're going to start at verse 13, and most of us probably know this story. You have these two disciples. They'd spent a number of years with Jesus. They'd seen stuff, heard stuff, touched stuff, been touched by stuff, seen miracles, seen all kinds of things happening. But suddenly Jesus wasn't with them anymore. And they were going to this place called Emmaus. Now forget kind of where they were going. It's a great place. But forget the geographical area. Just consider how our lives can sometimes be. We've had a great time at church. We've had a time of great praise and worship like we have just now. It was awesome. I love it. Mark, that was anointed. Thank you, Jesus. And we can find that we're kind of hearing the Lord and feeling the Lord and touching God. And then suddenly, it's almost like we're on a journey and he's not around. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like we have a great time on a Sunday and we go into work tomorrow, or we're going to school, or we're going to pick up kids, or we're going to go and get kids out of bed or whatever. And it's almost like we go into our Emmaus on our own. Do you know that as a Christian, we're never supposed to walk on our own? There's a song there. You'll never walk alone. Pastor Les, Jesus designed you to walk your life through with somebody else. Another Christian, another person a bit like you. Jesus actually designed you and me not to live on any path on our own, but he actually said, no, there's some people I'm going to put around you to walk with you. They'll pray for you, they'll encourage you, they'll help you, they'll coach you, they'll mentor you. Do you know what I'm talking about? In other words, our journey, once we become Christians, is never alone. It's impossible. We might have different journeys, I'm sure we all have. Tomorrow morning we'll all be going in different places, but there is a destination. How many of you know that destination is definite? See, I know where I'm going in the future. Do you know where you're going in the future? I know where we're heading. I've read the last chapter of the book. I know our Emmaus. I know where we're going, but sometimes, like these two guys, they just started to tell a story. It says in verse 14, they were talking to each other about everything that Jesus had done. And we know that sometimes we've got to begin our story just by talking to someone about what Jesus has done, not what he hasn't done. Sometimes we just got to start to chat and just gossip a little bit about what Jesus has done, not what we're waiting for him to do. We might not feel he's around. We might not even be aware he's around. We might have got up and had a really Friday kind of Monday, or even a kind of Monday Friday, if that makes sense. But as long as we begin to talk about our story with Jesus as a Christian, something will begin to change. Because we read on here a little bit, it says, while they were still talking, verse 15, suddenly Jesus appeared with them. I can guarantee this, as a Christian, you start just talking about what Jesus has done with another Christian, at some point you will find Jesus right in the middle of your conversation. I don't know how he does it. I don't know where he comes from, but I'm so thankful he arrives on time. Yeah, hello there. Sometimes we can just be chatting. We can be saying, I've been praying, or I haven't been praying. As long as you're talking about Jesus and the gospel, at some point he will position himself right in the middle of your conversation. That's the power of your personal story. Jesus says, where two of you agree on anything, I'll be there in the middle. Sometimes we can even agree to disagree, and he'll still come. Sometimes we just come at things from two totally different angles, but as long as our passion is to see a bit of unity and a bit of cooperation, Jesus will come. I love the power of a Christian story. I love the fact that it can change the workplace. I love the fact that it can change their bank balance. Because you can hear what the Financial Times is saying about your money, or you can talk about what Jesus says about it. If you start talking to somebody else about what Jesus has done, he'll come right into the middle of your bank balance. How many of you know he's really heavy, and when he stands on your end, it tips that way? He said it was good. 10 out of 10. I like you. Say it again, I like you a lot. Jesus, when he appears in the middle of our conversation, will always ask us a question. Where's it at? What are you talking about? Why is he asking us a question? Because he wants to know where we're going. He wants to know where we're going. He wants to know what's in our heart. He wants to know what's in our thinking. Do you know that most of us spend half our life talking? The question is, what are we talking about? There's two other facts which are true for every person on the face of the earth. One is everybody does what they're told. The question is, who's telling them? The second fact is everybody does what they want. The question is, what do they want? It's inherent in humanity. But when we begin to talk about Jesus, even if we're not a Christian, he'll come right into the middle of our conversation. But he comes to change it. He comes to take the future into our now. He comes to give us a vision which we haven't seen yet. Is this making some sense to somebody? They just explain a little bit. It says in the end of verse 17, they stood still, their faces downcast. I don't know, maybe you haven't had this, but sometimes when I've just been chatting about, you know, kind of stuff and what we're involved in church and life and all this kind of thing, sometimes you can be a little bit, kind of lose your edge a bit and be a bit downcast. Maybe that's just me, I don't know. Maybe there's kind of just a sense of, I wish there was more. I wish I could see more. Is that anybody here, or is it just me? How many of you know that Jesus came to lift up the head of the downcast? The Bible says he actually made us the head, not the tail. We're the nodder, not the wagger. That might be that in our lives, in your life, you're living around the other way. Maybe your life is wagging you. Maybe your relationships at home are wagging you. Maybe the way that you kind of work in the workplace is wagging you a bit. Well, how many of you know that you're the head, not the tail? Your conversation comes out of your head. We won't go to the other place, okay? It comes out of your head. And when you begin to talk as if you're the head, Jesus will come in right in the center of your conversation and he'll lift it. What happens when he lifts it? It means you get a different view on where you're going. I love it that every time Jesus prayed, most of the time it's recorded about what did he do. What he did was he looked up. I love that. Sometimes Christians, we're looking down for the answer. What you get from the ground is earth. Well, you can find an answer in the mud, but it gets washed away really quickly. If you look up, you'll get an answer that stays permanently. So as we chat about Jesus and just chat our story, it gives us, I believe, a different perspective on heaven. Without getting all super spiritual about it and everybody seeing an angel under every stone and this, that and the other, I'm talking about it just makes us more aware that we're part of something bigger than us. That's the power of your conversation. That's the power of your story. It goes on there. Jesus begins to come into a narrative. He begins to communicate and have a dialogue with these disciples. They give him a little bit of a story about the bibliology of his life. Very exciting. But then Jesus comes in and says, well, actually, all these things were done even before that, even before your understanding, even before time itself. This whole plan was in the heart of God. Your story, a Christian story, was actually first written before you were born. I love it. It's not like we're trying to make up the words. But God looked out over the vista of the universe and said, that's how so-and-so is going to be. That's how you're going to look. That's the day that you're going to come to Christ. That's when I'm going to fill you with my power. That's when I'm going to set you free from all that rubbish. That's when I'm going to give you this job. That's when I'm going to give you this person. Your story's already written. I love that. It's not like once upon a time. It's like for all time. It's not like, are you sitting comfortably? I'll begin. Jesus began our story years ago. It's brilliant. Some of you are excited. Yes. Would you like another fact, a medical fact? This one might not cheer you up so much. It takes 4 muscles to smile and over 30 to look like you. Yeah. Come on, smile. You'll love it. That's wonderful. You'll love it. Happy face is like a happy medicine. It says it in Proverbs. Stop laughing over there. I can hear you. Pastor Mark Ruoff, for those listening on the tape. Cheerful heart is a good medicine. Do you know that when you begin to chat with a smile on your face, you'll transform someone's world? Amen. Yes, you do. Oh, hallelujah. Pastor Les, I miss Pastor Les's smile. Lights up every dark cloud, changes every hopelessness into hope. Opens up someone's heart. That's what a smile does. It says that you're available. It says that you're ready. I just thank God that he never waits until we're ready. He just waits until we're willing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Man, he would get bored waiting for us to be ready. And it would never happen. It's like some of those jobs that we do. I'll do them tomorrow. Yeah, right. When's tomorrow? Jesus just says, no, be willing and you're ready. That's an aside. You can have that for free. Jesus comes out with hold of the bibliology, and verse 30, and this is kind of key. I don't know whether we're breaking bread this morning. It doesn't matter whether we are or not. But there's something key here. It says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it and began to give them. Then their eyes, say their eyes. I believe when we chat to another Christian, to another non-Christian, and you talk around about life exchange, the life given for you, the blood that was shed for you, the power of the cross, like we were beginning to sing, it'll open up somebody's eyes, not just yours. I believe in just telling the story that my life is now hidden in God opens up the eyes of somebody. What else does it do? It says, and they recognized him. It's great, isn't it, that not only do people see Jesus is real and he's alive, but they recognize who he is. That he's not some dead bloke of history, somebody that just gets an Easter egg once a year or a few presents at Christmas. Or someone that people follow, you know, one day a week and then they ignore 6 days. That's not Jesus. As we begin to talk about our story of our life as Christians, it makes Jesus more real. Now, I don't mean more real in himself, more real to somebody else. So it says here that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Then immediately disappeared. Wow! What an incredible conversation. 1 minute, he was there all over the place, talking to them, bringing kind of scriptures to them, telling them a story, and then the next minute he'd gone. Isn't that awesome? But I'll tell you what's even more awesome. If we go just over another couple of verses, if you can cope with this. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found 11 and those with them assembled together. This is really exciting. This is my most favorite bit coming up right now. Do you know that on a Sunday morning, what God wants to do with a Christian is fill you up with Jerusalem, then send you into Jericho and change it. He wants to fill up your heart, your mind, your thinking, your chatting, your action with Jerusalem, then send you right out into Jericho and change it. I love it that Jesus didn't just come to the gate of Jericho and think, dodgy, cursed place, not going in there, but he said he entered in to the village. I believe that's what Sunday mornings are about a little bit, is we get filled with Jerusalem today, then tomorrow we go to Jericho and change it. Does anybody have a fattest idea what I'm talking about? Come on, grab that message. Oh, I'm grabbing that. That was good. I haven't heard that before. Personally, I believe we're supposed to spend most of our time living out Jerusalem, but in Jericho. Your story will help you do that. You might think, I haven't got much of a story. Then don't talk about yours. Talk about his in you. You might be thinking, oh, my kind of Christian walk's been a bit up and down. Just talk about the ups. But I love this bit. This is coming. Are you ready? Because this is the most exciting. This is going to blow you off your seat, all right? This is the power of your story when you tell it again. It says, then the two told what had happened on the way. So these two guys came to church, came to the service. All they were doing was chatting about what had happened to them that day. And guess what happened? Verse 36. While they were still talking. Oh, hello. Sometimes we come to church and just talk. If we're talking about the right stuff, verse 36 will happen. Jesus himself stood amongst them. That's the power of your story. So they're in the right place, they're with the right people, but they were maybe talking about the wrong stuff. As soon as they changed the language a little bit, Jesus positioned himself right at the center of church. That's the power of your story. That's the power of agreement in prayer. That's the power of joining with the host of angels in singing. That's the power of saying, yeah, that word's true and it's true for me. As our conversation begins to change, you position Jesus right at the center of your world. I think this is awesome. I love this power of this story stuff. They went on to talk about what happens when Jesus came right into the hub of their life at this time. He released peace over them. Remember these blokes at the beginning, a bit downcast, a bit like, oh my goodness me, where's Jesus gone? But by the time Jesus finished with them, they were ready to change the world. These two guys are just having a bit of a wander, a bit of a chat. You know, do you remember when Jesus did that, when he did that? Where's he gone? I don't know. What's happening next? Well, let's go to Emmaus and find out. By the end of the story, they're about to transform society. It was saying of these guys, these 11 plus this couple here, that in 30 years they turned the known world upside down. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That was the power of this kind of dialogue. It brought Jesus right into the center, and it brought them right into the center of Jesus. That's the power of story. That's the power of this reproductive dynamic. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. We probably would too. But man, this ghost can change towns, cities, transform lives. He can provide for thousands, millions. That's some kind of ghost. I want to know that kind of ghost. This kind of ghost can raise the dead. He can create limbs when there aren't any. Man, that's a good ghost to know. This ghost is holy. That's the power of your story. Is 1 minute we can be talking about what the world talks about. And in a twinkling of an eye, we can be talking about the holiness and the presence of God. In one sentence, you can be saying, give us a drink. And in another sentence, you can be downloading about the power of spiritual worship, which transforms a woman so much, she goes and changes her county.
Ooh.
You can be having a conversation with someone 1 minute about something going on in their home or in their family life or at work or just pressures of being in business. And a second later, you could be downloading the kingdom dynamic for their future. It's the power of your story. You could be talking to someone that's been homeless for a couple of weeks. They've got nowhere to live. They're all smelly and dirty and horrible. You can start talking to them and suddenly they find the cleansing and the adoptive power of Jesus Christ, who takes sons that are illegitimate and makes them his own. That's the power of your story. This is why Paul said to Philemon, be active. Be active. Tell a story. Because it reveals who Jesus is. Reveals what Jesus has done. It's not a story about us. It might start with us, but it will never finish with us. But you'll find as you're kind of just downloading during the week, next month, next year, on holiday, on the bus, whatever, whatever, you'll find there is a greater awareness of Jesus, the storyteller, right in the middle of what might not have been anything particularly. But it's like, no, I'm going to share my story with somebody. We've kind of challenged some of these guys, say about 130 blokes, since January. We've been saying, come on, let's believe God for each one of you to bring one of your friends to Christ this year. How are we going to do that? I don't know, just chat. For some reason, I don't know, blokes tend to find it a little bit harder to get into a conversation than ladies. No comment. All right. That was Helen, for those of you just giggling on the corner. I really don't know if that's true or not, but what I do know is we've had to try and help equip our blokes to have a conversation that's going to get to a point where they can say, actually, I'm a Christian, did you know? I believe in Jesus because of this, this, and this. And as some of them are beginning to step out and do that, they're finding the story is also true for them. Jesus just positions himself right in the middle of their words, if you like. And how many of you know that when we say something can happen, but when Jesus begins to speak through us, incredible things can happen. So we've been encouraging those guys, and we've been encouraging the wider congregation to be active in sharing your story. This week, just gospelize someone. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that God took people who were just walking aimlessly, just going through the days, came right in the middle of their journey and changed it totally, decided, I'm going to walk with you now, just come this way instead of that way. So it's not I did it my way, it's I did it your way. You can't have it both ways. And then suddenly Jesus begins to download his plan, his walk to you. I just love it when Moses, it's interesting how Jesus starts his dialogue about Moses. Is Moses had a key which I believe we all need to have, which is teach me your way, O Lord, that I will know you. And I believe as Christians the Holy Spirit has put that desire into every heart here. It's not something we have to try and get, it's something we have, we just need to express it. I believe it is something that the Holy Spirit is expressing constantly, is teach me. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that he has said. That's how it kind of works. The Holy Spirit says, teach me, show me. And as we trust in him, he'll lead us into success. You see, these guys started off just on a journey, but they ended up changing the journey of millions of other people. Sorry, I was waiting for somebody to say something. Either go, or hello. Are you all right? It's 25 past 12. I'm almost getting bored now. No, I just feel when it's time to do something else. So let's all stand up, shall we? Loads of people here, you've all got a kind of a story to tell. And it's powerful. It's how Christ has taken your life and changed it. If you know Jesus Christ this afternoon, I think Pastor Les said it earlier, it's an exchange. His life for ours, ours for his. Awesome. The best deal under heaven. If we know Jesus Christ already, then you've already got a story that can change somebody else's life, can bring down the presence of God, can keep an open heaven over your workplace, over your marriage, over your home. Yes. You've got a conversation that can begin to, if you like, send the tasking of God. And we haven't got time to talk about that, other than say that in your journey, every step of your journey, God has set aside tasks, provision, grace for you to walk in. I think that's kind of cool. How many of you know you can't ever catch God out? You never surprise him. We never get into trouble without him knowing we're going to get there. I think that's good. It's like, oh my God, God never thought I'd do this. Yes, he did, because he kind of knows everything. God is the biggest know-all you'll ever meet. And it's brilliant. He knows everything. Let's just close our eyes, shall we? It goes all dark when you do that, but it's fine. It's all right. Father, I just want to thank you so much that we're on our journey with you. I want to thank you that our heart need not be downcast, troubled, heavy, burdened, unhealthy in any kind of way. But I want to thank you that by your tremendous grace and by the power of your blood, you have lifted our heads. You've transformed our faces. You've given us a hope and a future. I want to thank you that, Father, as we walk with you in the future, it isn't orange, but it is bright. So you'll remember this message. The future's bright, and it's Jesus. It's not orange, all right? Father, I want to thank you right now that your Spirit is speaking, bearing witness to our spirit. I want to thank you that you've given us Jerichos to change. And we're not going to be afraid of them, or we're not going to be intimidated by them in any kind of way, because you're filling us with Jerusalem power, kingdom life, holiness, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Father, we're determined to change our Jerusalems. However we see those places, we're determined to change them for the glory of God and for the honor of your name. And Father, I want to thank you that your word that says, whenever we open our mouths, you will fill it. Amen. We thank you for the power of our story, the power to bring life, healing, miracles, signs, wonders shall follow you all the days of your life. And we agree with that right now, that you've made us a sign and a wonder to this city, to our communities. You've made us a sign and a wonder. It's a sign that talks. And it's a wonder that walks. And I want to thank you for that. I praise you for that. I want to thank you for husbands, spouses, children, grandchildren, employers, employees, all being transformed from today with increasing power. We thank you that this is the month when the ark lands, when there's a revival of your word. We want to thank you that this is when the day of Jubilee commences. We want to thank you that this is the day when we rejoice in crossing over into a new place. We want to thank you that you send the rain in the time of rain. And I want to thank you that you're raising the level in this house, in our lives, in anybody connected with this household, whether they know you or whether they don't know you. I want to thank you that you're going to change them this month, in these next 23 or 4 days. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people redeemed, restored. We're going to see prodigals coming back into the house. We're going to see the whole house flourish and break out, as it were, to the left and to the right. Yes. Yes. I want to thank you that you've called us for such a time as this, for such a place as this, and you've called us to live in such a people as this so that we can see you change and transform them. Hallelujah. For the glory of God and for the honor of your name. Let's just give the Lord a great big shout and a clap of praise, shall we? Come on, let's exalt him because he's awesome. Oh, he is awesome today. Ruling and reigning in power and in glory and in majesty. Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor Clive and Jane, when they knew we were coming up, they said, please say hello to everybody. So hello to everybody. Pastor Colin and Caroline are still on vacances in France. The new study version of the truth is out. It is a brilliant version. It's got, I think, an extra 300 pages, but it's only half as big or something. I don't know. It's very good, though. Fantastic. It's brilliant, isn't it? Have you got one yet? Yeah. I should have brought one. It's brilliant. It's great to spend some time with you. We really say feel kind of part of you. I think for some of the journeys back home to Horsham over 2003, 2004, we consider that we certainly left part of us here. We took most of Burger King from Oxford Street with us. I think we were their best customers. On a Thursday, we arrived at exactly 2 minutes to 10. They shut at 10. And there were like hundreds, no, there was about 10 of us, weren't there? And they used to love us. They learned to love us. And I was saying to these guys, because I think congestion charges started just this side of the embankment. And we would leave Roffey to hit that first camera at 31 minutes past six. I tell you what, God is brilliant. I don't know how he set it up. Every single time we came for many, 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 many weeks. 31 minutes, but yeah, months. 14 months, actually, but we won't go there. 31 minutes past six, when the old, you know, when, what's his name? Ken Livingstone was counting the day's take-ins. He didn't get hours. It was brilliant. So, Pastor Lesdot, we love you. I still miss you. We still miss you. And we think you're brilliant. It's great to spend a bit of time with you.
That's so good. Really, so good. Thank you. Let's just thank these guys. They're amazing people. I just so appreciate this. This is a release. It's a breakthrough. And we praise God for life. Amen. That's good, hey?